So the first reading is from Exodus chapter 3, verses 12 to 23. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name and you have found favour with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favour with you. Remember, this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft in the rock and cover with you my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Listen for the word of the Lord from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 15 to 33. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. They sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. "Teacher," they said, "we know that you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by others because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not?" But Jesus, knowing their evil intent, said, "You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Show me the coin used for paying the tax." They brought him a denarius, and he asked them, "Whose image is this, and whose inscription?" "Caesar's," they replied. Then he said to them, "So give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's." When they heard this, they were amazed. So they left him and went away. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses told us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring from him. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her?" Jesus replied, "You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. At the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. But about the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what God said to you? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
One of the things that I find in the world today, at the moment, we have so much going on, and we know we have lots going on. And in the news every day, we have the things that are going on in Israel and in Gaza, and the whole of the Holy Land is, there's all sorts of things. You've got Hezbollah in the north and Hamas in the south, and Yemen were firing rockets yesterday, and it's all a bit much, isn't it? And people tend, in crisis, to come into this place where they don't feel like God is in amongst all of that. When we have a difficult day, we often don't feel like God is with us. We may feel like somehow it's not working right now, that because everything's going wrong, something's wrong. And we come into that place and we feel that way. But you know, feelings are not facts. One of Nikki Gumbel's favourite sayings, but it's true. Feelings are not facts. There is truth in the world which we can stand on. The fact is, God is here always, and he's here in the midst of everything that is going on. He's with us here. He's with the people in Israel. He's with the people on the Gaza Strip. He's with the people who are fleeing. He's with the people who are hiding. He's there in the midst of it all because God is with us. We're made in God's image. We're given his image, and we walk in that. A lot of people don't even realize that they're walking in that. They have no idea because they don't know him. But the thing is, we're actually a reflection of who God is. Now, if your friend is in trouble, are you going to stay here or are you going to want to go to your friend? Magnify it. When you're in trouble, God isn't standing over there waiting for you to call. He's already there. I'm going to talk a little bit about Moses today. Because Moses is cool. I like Moses. Excellent person. Very interesting with some odd habits, but we won't go into those. I'm going to talk a little bit about Moses, but I've got a little project for our young'uns down there. Now, you're going to need some scissors, maybe. Or you might not need scissors, but you need something to puncture the card and something to colour the card. So I got one of these when I was, a long time ago anyway. Somebody gave it to me when I was away on a Castillo weekend. We're talking, yeah, let's not do that. And it's a cross for your pocket. And I got it with a little card, and the card said, "Here is a little cross for you to hold when you pray. Keep it safe in your pocket so you can use it through the day. A reminder of God's presence and of his love for you, that Jesus gave his life so you could have his life in you." So I have seven cards and seven uncut crosses. So you can make them however you like. And they have their card, so they won't stand water, but they will be quite hardy because they are glued with the cloth on either side. So they have a red side and a gold side, which if you're a symbolic person, a bit of gold symbolizes the kingship of Jesus and a bit of red symbolizes the blood. So I'm going to bring these down to you, and I've got some things to put them together. And what you do is you make these, you colour in your card, and then you attach your card to your cross, and you can keep it for yourself and leave it in your pocket. And if you have a friend you'd like to give it to, or someone that you know needs it right now, you can give them one of these, and it'll be a lovely gift, just as it was a lovely gift for me. So if you want to come and help as well, you're welcome. So we're down the back here with the kids. So, all right, guys, so I'm going to give you these, and I'm going to give you those, and I might leave you to source the resources. Thank you. There we go. That's okay. We stay in the church. We're just down the back, so they don't have to go outside. So if you want to help out too, that'd be great. The more the merrier. So I won't give them that card because I've cut it short. But here's mine for a spare in case. So Moses is with the Israelites in the desert. Moses is a man who knows God, and God knows Moses. And Moses is someone who can talk to God. I find it extraordinary the way that he talks to God. People say that they're worried about how they talk to God because what if God doesn't like the way I speak? But listen to the way Moses talks to God. Now he says, look, you've said to me, bring up this people, but you've not let me know who you're going to send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you've also found favor in me. Well, if you've done that, then show me your ways. I need to know this. He's not actually there going, oh. He's saying, I know you, you know me. I need to talk to you, Lord, about this because it's important to me. And God listens to Moses because they have a relationship. Now, before, when Moses went to see the Lord, he would go to the tent of meeting, and the people of Israel would come to their tents. They're living in tents because they're camping as they move around the desert. Imagine 40 years of camping, those who aren't into camping. Anyway, they're camping in the desert, and Moses walks through the camp, and he would walk through the camp, and when people saw him walking through the camp, they would come to their tent doors and they would watch him going through. And he went to the tent of the presence, which was outside the camp. And he would go to that tent and they would watch him go in the door. And as the door closed behind him, as the flap of the tent closed behind him, the pillar of cloud, which was the presence of God, would come and settle over the tent. And the people would bow in prayer. And they would watch and they would wait for Moses to come out. And then when Moses came out of the tent of meeting, the cloud would move and he would come out and the people would wait to hear from him what God had said. Now the cloud is a visible presence of God. It lets them know that he is there. There are times when I wish I had cloud. Just for the fun of it even. But if we, you know, sometimes you really just want to know God's there, and it's hard, isn't it? Because it's this feeling thing. Our feelings will lie to us and tell us that he's not there. God is. Moses walked into the tent and the cloud would come and he and God would talk and he would listen to what God wanted, and then he would come out of the tent and tell the people what God's will was in whatever he was asking God about. Moses, in our reading today, has gone to the Lord because the Lord had said, they'd played up, they'd made the golden calf and they'd followed another god and they'd done all the wrong things and things had been pretty awful for a moment. And the Lord had said, look, you go with them, I'll send an angel. I'm not coming because if I'm too close for these people, they're going to insult my holiness and I don't want to harm them. Not I want to wipe them from the face of the earth, but I don't want to harm them, so I don't want to go with you. And Moses had pleaded and said, please, Lord, please come with us. And God had eventually said, maybe. Basically, the Hebrew doesn't say maybe, but you know. And this is a follow-on from that conversation. Lord, you've said you're pleased with me. you've said that you're going to send me. You've said you'll come with me, but I need to know that you will. I need to know that you will. And why does Moses need to know that God will go with him? He needs to know that God will go with him because he needs to know that the nations around will know that God is with them, that the witness of the people who are God's people would show other people that God is real and that their God is the God, that Moses is in his leadership legitimate because he is hearing from God and God is with them. But more than anything, he just needs to know that God will lead. If your presence does not go with us, don't take us up from here. If you are not coming, I'm not going. If you won't go ahead of us, Lord, if you won't lead us, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to sit right here until you are with me because I'm not taking a step without you. That is the place of following the Lord. Now, we have this amazing privilege. We have an amazing privilege, the Jewish people and the Christians. We have the one true God, but the Jewish people haven't got this privilege. And we can see they didn't have it at the time that Jesus was around because they kept sending people to ask him questions. And they were trying to work out what was going on and they didn't understand, really. And they sent him to ask him questions, you know, should we pay our taxes or not? And, of course, they're trying to trap him into doing something political, but Jesus is too smart for that. And instead, he simply looks at the coin and says, well, it's got the emperor's head on it, so give to the emperor what's the emperor's. Give to God what is God's. Get your mind on the Lord, basically. But then the Sadducees come, who are people who didn't believe in the resurrection. And I love this bit. Can you imagine, ladies, would you really like to be this woman? If you think about it, just get passed from brother to brother and there's seven of them. Heavens to Betsy. You'd be looking forward to heaven by then, wouldn't you? Get me out of here. The Sadducees don't understand. They think that it's only this life that God is present in, and it's only, you know, when you're dead, that's it. There isn't a resurrection. There isn't a new place. It's only in this life that you can be blessed and live in the Lord. And Jesus says flat out, you're wrong. Absolutely flat out. Those are the words. You are wrong. This is because you don't know him. You know the word, you don't know the word, and you don't know him. He's the God of the living. And who does he say is living? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who we know have been dead for a long time. But Jesus says they're living. They did not have our gift. And what is our gift? Jesus died. Jesus died on the cross. He gave us his right standing with God. He washed away with that moment everything that had been done ever and everything that would be done ever that was wrong. And gave us access to that tent, like Moses, where the presence of God is there. And the presence of God isn't just here, because Jesus ascended to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit comes here. And we have God not just here, but here. Within the presence of God, that pillar of cloud is inside when you believe in Jesus. We're the only people who can say that. We're the only religion, world religion, that has that relationship. Because we follow the truth, Jesus Christ. That's not a slap in anybody's face. That's a call. We want them to know him too, don't we? We have the presence of God within, and Jesus is with us, and we can hear the voice of God just as Moses heard it in the tent of meeting. And we can talk to him as Moses spoke to him. Hey, God, I'm not happy about this. Can you help? And we can say, hey, God, I'm having a great day. And God goes, cool, I love great days. Can I do that with you? He loves to rejoice with us too. Some people think God's only there for the bad times. God's there for the good times too. Jesus was a party animal. He loved a good party. Loves a good time. God rejoices with those who rejoice. He weeps with those who weep. The body of Christ is to do the same. So every single person here who believes in Jesus as your Lord and Savior can hear from God, has the presence of God within, and can, like Moses, go to him. And then in our own lives, we can say, Lord, I want to know what is yours. Before I move, I will not go unless it's yours. As Moses did, I think this is the call to the church. If your presence doesn't go with us, we're not going. I am right here and I ain't moving until I know what is yours. Not what's good. Good can be great, but if good is not God's, it ain't good. It needs to be what God wants. That is the place where we find that out. And we hold it up before him and we ask. And God will tell us what is good. And he will tell us what is his. And he will give us a way forward in our own individual lives, but also as a church. The church, you all carry the presence of God, the Spirit of God. And as we go forward, I want to hear from you. Ask God what he is really speaking to us about this church. I've been praying, I've been hearing, but you know what? I'm one person. We are the body of Christ. And there are prophetic people in this congregation who've heard and know the voice of God. But there are also plenty of people in this congregation who can hear and know the voice of God. Because we are all his when we believe in Jesus. Holy Spirit comes to give us that assurance. And it's so useful when you want to know what to do. And God doesn't always say yes, of course, when we ask him a question. Sometimes he says no, but that's because he always knows better than we do. And sometimes he says wait. And that's annoying, but it's the way it works. Because God knows the time when we don't. But for this church, if we want to be effective in the community, we need to do it God's way. If we want to bring people to faith in Jesus and bring them up in Jesus, because it's not just about people coming to faith, is it? They got to grow. We want people to be able to grow in this church, to grow up and to be able to grow with the Lord. How is the best way for us to do that? There are things we do now. What's God's plan? And how can we most effectively do that? Let me ask you, we are praying together 9 a.m. every morning when we can, we remember, and I'm sure there are days when we don't, and that's okay. In your prayer for the church, talk to God about this and talk to me because I want to hear what God says to you. You know why? Because we're the body of Christ and I'm one person and I want the body with me. I want to hear from the body. Don't be afraid to come and say to me, I have this really weird thing going on and I think God's saying this, but I really don't understand. That's okay. And sometimes we have a dream, we know it's a God dream, we've got no idea what's going on in it. That's okay too. Come and have a chat. Let's talk about it. Because sometimes he talks in dreams and sometimes we hear him and sometimes he talks through all sorts of things. But Let's seek him together. Individually, and on a Sunday we seek him corporately. But as we go forward, let's spend our time in the tent of meeting. Because if God is not in it, we do not want it. I do not want it. And I don't want to go there. But if God is in it, he will have already paved the way. And we can walk in faith, even if we've only got the first step. Moses only ever had the first step. He didn't know where he was going. He just knew God's, when the presence of God lifted off the tent and the presence of God stood in a particular direction, he would know that that's the direction the camp had to go in, and they'd all pack up, and then they'd just follow the cloud. They didn't know where he was taking them. But when they followed his presence and they followed his call, they went where he wanted them to be. And they were blessed in the going. So let me pray for us as I finish now. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for coming and dying for us. Thank you for being raised to life that we might know that we have life in you. Thank you, Lord, for sending the Holy Spirit to be within every believer. Thank you that we can come to you because you are already with us, that we needn't run around finding you, that you're here. Help us, Lord, to grow in our relationship with you so that we know your presence beyond feelings in truth. And help us to hear from you what your heart is for our own lives and for this church. In Jesus' name, amen.